morning, family. Here we are on the third Sunday of the season of Easter. The mystery and miracle of Jesus' resurrection is almost as fresh in our minds as it was for the apostles, right? We're in the Easter season. It's another one of the church's seasons marking significant and noteworthy occasions. For instance, the season of Advent prepares us for Christmas, and the season of Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus. The season of Lent prepares us for Good Friday and Easter, and the season of Easter prepares us for the gift of God's Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Pentecost is the celebration of when the Holy Spirit filled the apostles. It happens on Sunday, May 19th this year, just so you can mark your calendars. But today, as we find ourselves in the wake of the resurrection of Jesus, let's wrestle with this question. What does it mean to live as a child of God? What does it mean to live as one who believes, one who stakes their very life on the resurrection of Jesus being true? What does it mean to live as a child of God? Is following Jesus hard to do? Is it difficult to live for him? It can't be that complicated, can it? Well, let's look at the gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Here's the setting. The disciples of Jesus were hiding away after his crucifixion. They were afraid, living in fear, and understandably so. If the religious and political figures had killed Jesus, then what would they do to his followers, right? Then in the middle of their fear, Jesus appeared to them. So let's hear what Luke recorded for us as Jesus interacted with his disciples. Hear the word of the Lord. While they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you startled? Why are doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. So we say, thanks be to God. Over the past several weeks, as we journeyed through Lent and prepared ourselves for Easter, and then on Good Friday, and then again, ultimately, on Easter Sunday, we considered the events that led to the ultimate expression of God's redeeming love for us, his children. As God's children, made in the image of God, we should be filled with wonder. We should be amazed at the awesome reality of our being, shouldn't we? In our heart of hearts, I think that we already know this to be true. And yet it's still a challenge for us to live as children of God, isn't it? Most of us struggle to live in that reality, don't we? We want to do the things that we want to do. We don't want to move out of our comfort zone. We don't want to get rid of all our bad habits that don't reflect the holiness of God, do we? So here's my question today. Is living as a child of God as complicated as we make it? What I mean is, everything we need to live like children of God is knit into the fabric of our being, even though it's not always evident to us. So following Jesus is not very complicated, is it? The Apostle Peter, who once denied knowing Jesus, was a personal witness to the healing power of Jesus' resurrection. His witness prevents those who had rejected Jesus from being able to imagine anything other than Christ's life-giving, healing power in the resurrection. The evidence of his own transformation is seen and understood by his compassionate response to those who persecuted Jesus. Peter told them that what they did was done in ignorance, and he knew what he was talking about. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. They were close friends. He was one of the chosen apostles. And yet, when the heat was on, he denied knowing Jesus because he was afraid that he would lose his life too. But when he encountered the risen and forgiving Jesus, Peter truly believed. And when the different disciples experienced Jesus' presence in the upper room or on the road to Emmaus, we understand how they came to believe. Their witness to these events was written down so that we can believe as well. Their stories help us to know the incredible gift in Jesus and in our own lives as God's children without the need to see it for ourselves. The gospel is all the evidence that we need, isn't it? It provides a foundation for our faith. It holds the mystery of faith and prompts us to search out our understanding of God's great creation. So, what does it mean for us to live as children of God, knowing that we have been made in God's image? It's not that complicated, is it? But still, the gift of our being does not always match up to the way we live, right? We're not always willing to bear witness to Jesus' death and resurrection, are we? We don't always do a good job. So what keeps us from sharing what we believe with everyone we meet? After all, aren't they made from the same fabric in God's image? Maybe we fit into the lukewarm category. Maybe we're not completely convinced. Maybe we're not passionate enough to share what we believe. Maybe it's hard for us to look at our neighbor and allow ourselves to imagine that they are made from the same fabric in the same image as our Creator. You know, we live in a time when it is critical to live according to the two greatest commandments: love our Creator God and to love one another, right? Today, we find that some of our churches and some of our denominations are navigating the stormy seas of transition. And these seasons of change always include some fear and anxiety and lots of uncertainty, right? Well, make no mistake, treating each person as a brother and sister in Christ now will create the sacred space where the Holy Spirit's presence can be seen and felt. In this way, we have an opportunity to experience the risen Christ standing among us. And when he is with us, we can live as children of God. So how do you show your love for someone? Over the years, I've learned that if you love someone, you will love what they love. You will love who they love, right? I can tell if someone truly loves me by the way they care about my family, the ones that I love most of all. Don't you agree? So if we say we love Jesus, then we will love the things and the people he loves, right? If we're drawn into a relationship with Jesus, then we are drawn into relationship with others, whoever they are, whatever they do, wherever they live, right? When we love and follow Jesus, he gives us a love for the things he loves. He gives us a passion for the things about which he is passionate. And we will develop a distaste for the things that he dislikes, right? It's pretty simple and straightforward. When we engage with the words of Scripture, our attention is naturally drawn to God, our Creator, and to the incredible gift of his creation. Let's find passion for our faith so that we can share it with everyone we encounter in words and in deeds. And when we are uncertain, let's pray that we will recognize the risen Jesus standing beside us. And let's pray that we will recognize the risen Jesus in the people who are in need around us, the last, the least, the lost, the lonely, and the left out. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Help us to follow you, we pray. Help us to live lives that bring honor and glory to you. And may the ways in which we conduct ourselves always put a smile on your face. Forgive us for getting frustrated. Forgive us for losing hope. Help us to use words of peace. Help us to be safe places for those who are scared or apprehensive or unsure. Help us to use words that heal. And now, using the words debts and debtors, let us pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as always, thank you. I really do appreciate you joining me today. And I hope these words were helpful to you. If they were, will you like, review, and share this episode? If you leave a good review, it will help other people to find and benefit from these devotional thoughts. By the way, if you have a need or a prayer request, please leave a message in the comments section, and then be assured that I will be praying for you and for your need. Now, this week, your job is to love at least three people and make sure at least one of them doesn't deserve it. Why? Because everyone needs love, and everyone needs to know that God loves them, no matter what. And remember, with Jesus, we always, always, always have hope. Now, receive these words of benediction today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.